Good morning. Well, I just love it, you know, I love it how, you know, it's been weeks now and weeks, probably months, every week, you know, I can see we're living in a greater degree of freedom, especially in our worship. And it's, I don't know about you, but it's like I just want more of that. That's wonderful. Before I start, I want to ask you first, if you could grab a piece of paper, you know, and a pen, or if you've got your phone with you, you can open up your notes app. And if you have none of those, maybe you can just lean over at someone and say, "Do you have some paper and a pen?" And so what we're going to do first, I just want you to write down, what are the top five priorities in your life? Now, and I want you to be honest with yourself about this. Don't get all religious-y and, you know, try to write in the right thing. Be honest. And that could be, you know, what is a priority? It could be a person, an activity, a thing, a lifestyle, a character quality. And if that doesn't do it for you, just think in terms of what is it? What are the things that you spend or devote the most amount of time to? And I'm just going to give you 2 minutes to write that down. And if those people online, you can be doing this too. Just another 30 seconds. So hopefully that's given you enough time. You can always complete some of it later. But it's something, it's good to think about. What are the priorities in my life? And the title of today's topic, what I'm going to be speaking about, is First Things First. And First Things First is about what is it that you're putting first? What is it that you're prioritizing as a follower of Jesus? What are you prioritizing? And that's what putting first things first, that's the significance behind that. Now, there can be a lot of different types of distractions that can have an impact on what our choice of our priorities are. The reality is we live in a world that's very busy. People are really busy. Parents are busy. They're bringing their kids to different things. We lead very, very busy lives. And sometimes in the busyness of things, we can let other things go. And maybe those things might even be more important than what we're actually doing. But I'm just outlining a few things that give us a bit of a challenge in terms of developing the kind of priorities that we should have as followers of Jesus. We live, for example, in a culture, the culture that we live in, which presents, in some ways, a really different type of lifestyle than, let's say, what the kingdom of God tells us how we should live. So that can be, again, a challenge, a distraction. There's so many things really in life that are vying for attention. Internet, social media, entertainment. And there's a whole other number of things that are vying constantly for our attention in this world that we live in. And so it's very easy to get busy doing those things and putting our faith almost on the shelf. The world is very influential on how we live, and it can have an incredible impact on us as believers. And I think sometimes we can become blinded by that. And so I'm telling you this because I want us to be conscious of just the things that we're dealing with, not that they are problems, because problems are opportunities to make adjustments in our lives, whatever that is. But there are distractions and there are obstacles because as a follower of Christ, I want to be setting the priorities in my life that match up with what the Lord has called us to do, what we see in His Word, what we experience when we're spending time with Him, as we're inviting Holy Spirit to come into our lives and give us the kingdom perspective. So unless we're actually doing that and we're focusing strictly on living like the rest of the world is, then that becomes a problem. And so what do we do in that case? We go to the first slide, 2 Corinthians 13. And this is from the Message. I love just the way that they kind of explain this. It says, test yourself to make sure that you're solid in your faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Don't just go, that's the way it is. I hope the test won't show that we have failed. But if it comes to that, we'd rather the test showed our failures than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you, and we couldn't possibly do it otherwise. So just really good practical advice. When was the last time that you examined yourself in terms of how am I doing as I'm following Christ? And this is a good thing that we do. If anything, it's almost, it could become, why not, a daily thing that I'm doing as I'm starting my day. And I start off the day with, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you that you're in my life. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're walking with me today wherever I go. Is there any area in my life that you want to highlight that I need to change? And we just wait on Him. And I don't want you, but the more you do it, the more familiar you become with it, you begin to get into that habit. And it's a wonderful habit to do that. And what's interesting is the last couple of verses is really something that applies to the leaders, to the pastors of churches. Because it's saying, if it comes to that when you failed, we'd rather the test show our failure. Because our responsibility is to make sure that what we're preaching is the truth of the gospel, that we're preaching the kingdom of God in everything that we do. So this is working not for all of us in different areas, in different ways. But the question is the question we should all be asking ourselves in this is Jesus first in my priorities? Is He first? And if He's not, then we should examine ourselves and see what the Lord highlights in our lives. Let's see a couple of three verses that I'm going to, just to show, what does the Bible say in terms of where we should be setting our priorities? And I'm going to start with Matthew 6. And before I do that, just a little bit of an introduction. Because in Matthew chapter 4, about midway, it says that Jesus' ministry started. And one of the first things that he said as he was teaching was, the kingdom of God is near. And then actually in chapter 3 of Matthew, that's exactly what John the Baptist's message is, to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So I just want to frame it so that it actually makes sense for you. And so, of course, we know in chapter 5 is the famous Sermon on the Mount, which goes on from chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. And Jesus mentions the kingdom of God frequently because what he's doing, he's ushering in something new, something that near, something that would become, and it's the covenant that he will be establishing of Christ as Lord and King, the new covenant, which added to and improved, it was I like what Mark said, it's a better version It's a 2.0 version, a probably 3.0 version of the Old Testament. And so I'll just read it now. And so what Jesus is doing, he's hitting all the various topics, things like loving your enemy, about marriage, about divorce, all sorts of life issues. And he turns on one of those life issues, which is money and possessions. And it starts around chapter 6, verse 19. So we're reading from 31 to 34. So he's now summarizing. It's a therefore. He's summarizing what's just been said. So he says, therefore, do not be worried or be anxious or perpetually uneasy and distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But first and most importantly, seek, aim, or strive after his kingdom and his righteousness. That is, seek after God's way of doing things, God's way of being right or righteous, and seek after his attitude and his character. And then he said, and if you do that, all these things will be given to them. So he sets very clearly about, in some translations it says, seek first the kingdom of God. To me, that's a clear message about what it is that we should be focusing on in our lives. And I love the way the Amplified kind of amplifies that verse, where it says, seek after the way that God does things, after God's righteousness, seek after his attitude and his character, because that's actually what God is trying to do in us, is to make us more and more like him. And as we do that, we begin to focus on him. We begin to put him first in everything we do. In Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So the first thing we see is trust the Lord with all your heart. And all your heart means all your heart. The heart is the center of who we are as people, as individuals. It represents the epicenter, sort of who we are as people, as a person. And so he's telling us that we need to trust him. But of course, to trust him, we have to have some measure of faith. And so it's clear that the only way that we can get to that place is by setting our trust in the Lord. He says again, and lean not on our understanding, but in all your ways submit to him. So part of what we need to understand is, if we're going to live setting Jesus as our priority, it means it needs to manifest itself in the way that we actually are living. So one of the things in the next verse in 6, it says, in all our ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. An important part of that is the part of submitting. We need to submit to him. As we submit to him, we can then trust him and not lean on our understanding. We don't know everything. It's a pattern of life, or a priority that we need to set in place in our lives if we're going to live this way and have the assurance that God gives us that he will then make our path straight. Proverbs 16:3 is very similar to that, because it says, before you do anything, put your trust totally in God and not in yourself. Then every plan there will succeed, or every plan that you make will succeed. And again, I think I heard this past week, someone said, the amount of decisions that you make in a day is something ridiculous, like it's in the millions. Now, I'm sure a lot of those decisions might be neurological type decisions, so that I can just tell my brain without saying anything, no, I'm going to raise my hand right now. But a lot of those decisions are important life kind of decisions that we have to make. So here again, we see the Word of God saying, Again, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is the way that we need to live. So before you do anything, not before you make important decisions or whatever it is, because how do you know what's important and what's not? But God does. That's why it says to lean on the other scripture, to not lean on our own understanding. So we have to first come to him and invite him to come into our lives and say, okay, Lord, I was thinking of buying a present for so-and-so, and I'm not exactly sure what I should get. What do you think? And just wait on him to that. Trust in him that he's going to provide what we need to hear. Not in ourselves, because to be honest, we don't, as I said, we don't know everything. Then every plan that we make will succeed. So a takeaway from it is, again, where are we looking to set our priorities, and especially with God? Are we going to the world? Are we going where exactly? We want to go to the Word. We want to follow what it is that the Word is saying to us, because the Word of God is truth. And truth, as we know, is not just an expression or an idea. Truth is a person, and that person is Christ, Jesus. He is the truth. So do you want to stop worrying and being anxious or distracted, as it says? Do you want the Lord to make your path straight and seeing your plan succeeds? Well, I don't know about you, but I'd like to see that all the time and more. Well, if that is the case, then you need to make the Lord your first priority. It's kind of my law of the first comes first. So how do I do that? Well, you start by inviting him into your life, by inviting him into your life, your family life, and to believe and to be in his word, to allow the Holy Spirit that lives in us to have a say in what we do. I mean, it's amazing what God has done. I mean, I think Janine mentioned it last week. You know, sometimes we're all about the fact that we've been saved, and that's a wonderful, incredible thing on its own. But it's not just about we've been saved and now we know where we're going to go. Because what are you going to do in the time that you're here on earth? God has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And it's not just to wait until that and just kind of be a good person. We're not called to be a good person. We're holy and we're righteous. But Jesus has also equipped us with everything that we need in order to fulfill that plan and purpose that he has for us. I mean, not only has he created a way, which he did, for us to be reconciled back to the Father, which is huge, so that we can live in freedom. That's wonderful. But not only that, but his whole life, which you'll only discover if you read this, he has shown how to do this. Remember, when he came down, he didn't come as the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. He came as a human being. And everything that he did as a human. Why? So that we would see how he did it and not say, I can never do that. He's the Son of God. No, he did it as a human being. And he left an example. If you read through the Gospels, everything you need, Jesus has highlighted for me. That's why when Jesus said, if in Luke 9, what is it, 9:3, Luke 9, I can't remember the verse, but he says, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself. Because following means following. It means following someone that's ahead of you. And so you need to deny yourself. Why? Because we can't be going along the path and following Jesus. And all every time I said, well, I think we should go right, Jesus. And he said, no, just follow me. We can't let our own selfish thoughts and desires influence us. That's why it's so important. We need to set self down. But not only that, we have to remind ourselves all these truths, you know, that when we become a believer, a follower of Jesus, we're now a new creation in Christ. That old person that we were, that we buried that. When we got baptized, that was not just symbolic, that was a reality of what we've done. We're saying that my old nature is now dead and buried. I've been resurrected now with Christ, and I'm seated now with Christ at his right hand. We need to know what these truths are if we're going to prioritize the right things in our lives. And the only way that we're going to do that is by spending time with the Lord. And that starts with making a priority. And reading the Bible isn't about just reading the words. You can glean something, but you want to get everything. So what else has God done? Well, he sent his own Spirit to dwell in us. And I'm telling you this, just get hold of the incredible things. There's no excuses to say, I can't do this. So the Holy Spirit is in each one of us here, if you believe a believer of Jesus. And he's there to be, yes, our counsel and our guide, but he's there also to empower us by the power of the Holy Spirit, to empower us to become the person that God created us to be. Because we would never be able to do the things that God is calling us to do. No way. It's impossible. But the Holy Spirit is in us. We've got to remind ourselves when we're thinking, I can't do this. Yes, you can. Not in your strength, but in God's strength. That's in the Bible too. So why does all of this, of what I'm speaking about, why does this matter? Why does putting first things first, why is it important? Because what you value, what is important to you, will determine your priorities. If you value the things that the world prioritizes, those priorities will reflect that reality in your life. But if you value the kingdom of God, his rule and reign, his way of doing things, then the priorities that we set will reflect him and his kingdom. 2 Corinthians 3:16, I don't know if we have a slide for that, but if not, you can just listen to me. I love this verse because it's so powerful. It says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And just briefly, Paul is talking about that those that are not believers in Jesus cannot see that the veil is broken because there's a spiritual reality there. But he says those that can believe, we see it. We see the veil torn spiritually. And so he says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, we know. And there is freedom. So all of us who have that veil removed can see and reflect. Oh, I love this. I just highlighted it, I think, in every color I had. We can reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. That's what we get to do. And how do we do that? Is first we have to set that priority that Jesus is the most important thing in my life. No excuses. Because he's the center. He's our source. You know, we sing that song, Jesus, you're the center. But if all it is some verses in a song and there's no reality to it, then we're not walking in that. That's when we need to self-examine ourselves again. This is not about coming under condemnation because there is no condemnation if you're in Christ. But it's just being real. Be real with yourself. Tell yourself, how am I doing? Well, I didn't spend a lot of time you know, with the Bible, I haven't read it in a month or whatever, and it's not about self-condemnation. I know what that's like. It's happened to me. It's happened to all of us. And it went on far too long. But as I said, as we read that verse again, let me find it here. But it says, if you fail the test, do something about it. And I didn't do a lot about it. You know, something was always busier. I was busy doing something. There was another priority. And at that time early in my life, it was really my work. That's still where I got my identity. But now my identity is not in what I do in my work. My identity is in Christ. That's what it is. That's what's important. Jesus has to be, and for you to get that revelation, you have to be in a place where you're saying, okay, I may not understand it, I may not know how to do it, but I know that this is right. So I'm going to choose. Jesus gives us the choice. We could choose to put Jesus first. So help me. Help me, Holy Spirit, who lives in us. Help me to figure this out. Show me. Give me a strategy for what you have to do. Because what was happening, I was always running out of time. And part of the problem, well, I knew what the problem was, but I lived in denial for a long time and made excuses. And it was about sleeping and sleeping in. So, but what was I going to do about it? Well, it was a very easy solution. Get up earlier. Because when I get home, I'm tired and I feel my concentration isn't there. So you come up with, you engage with God. That's what he wants above and beyond all things. He wants us to engage with him, to have a relationship with him. And that's why it's so important to put him first. You know, we think sometimes that, where I'll put it as a question, do we believe that we, the church, need to blend into the culture of the world? Is that what you think we should do? Or should we not be we, the church, who changes the culture of the world? That's what we're called to do. We're called to do the things that Jesus did. That's what the Great Commission was all about. To continue doing it. All of us, not just some of us. There's no just for those that are more spiritually gifted or only if you're a leader. No, it's for everyone. Because that's God's plan and purpose. Can you imagine if we, representing the church, and we do, if we started to have that mind of Christ? Well, how do you get that mind of Christ? Well, it begins by knowing who Christ is, by spending time with him, right? How do you know someone unless you spend time with them? So, you know, we entered the kingdom with that much faith, just a little bit of faith. We maybe didn't even know what we were doing, but we did it in faith. But we need to feed that faith so that faith grows. And one way that it does it is through the knowledge and understanding of who God is. So how do we get that? We get that by spending time with him. We get that by bringing Holy Spirit into it. Because remember, as I said, if you're just reading the words, yes, you'll get some. But if you invite Holy Spirit in, you'll get the good stuff, the deep stuff. That's scriptural too. You get the deep stuff, and that's what we want. Don't we want the deep stuff? We want the deep stuff. And as we get to know him, you know what happens is as our faith increases, as we get to know him, our love for him increases. And we get to love him. Why? Because we love him more, because we know him more. We know who he is. And then we start being that person. Because why? Then the problem with struggling with obedience is not an issue more. Because you're not being obedient to God because he's telling you to do it. You're doing it out of love. Love for him. It's not about, oh, geez, I have to obey you, Jesus. Well, it may start off that way. And maybe that's not a bad way, as you push yourself a little bit. But as you get to know him, you will do it because you love him. And as you love him,
it's like opening up the gates of heaven, and it just pours out. And I wish I could say I've experienced it all, but I haven't. But I imagine it's like the gates of heaven are open, and Jesus said, here you go. You have it all. That's the kind of Father he has, that we have. He doesn't hold back. But we need to understand what it is that, who he is, and that's why he desires us to be in relationship with him. I just love to think about, and I think I dropped that thought in a moment, but I think, can you imagine if we started living like that, the world would change. Because everywhere we go, we're reflecting something of Christ. We are his ambassadors, it says. An ambassador is a person that represents where they came from. And we come from God. We are not of this world, but we're living in this world. But we're bringing the kingdom of God everywhere we go. How will people know unless we live that way? They won't know. We have to be engaged and we have to be involved. And you know what? I believe it's the best thing that we could ever do in all of our lives. Why? Because we're doing what we made for. We've had the Creator who created us in our own image. Not just his image, physical image, but in his likeness and in his character. And when we are those kind of people, as the Creator, he must look down and say, yes, look at my people. They're becoming who I created them to become. And when we do that, that's perfect. I think that's perfect praise. And that's perfect worship. And that's glorifying God. Why? Because how can the Creator be more glorified than when we actually living like him and doing what he created us to do? It's got to be the best thing ever. As I said, I haven't experienced it, but that's what I want. And that's why we need to getting back to first thing first. It starts with putting that in order. So I don't know what you've written. I don't need to know. But hopefully you've been honest with yourself. Because there's no use in not being honest. God already knows where you stand, right? I don't need to know where you stand. That's not important. But it's important for you to understand where you are and what you need to do next. We all have to put Jesus first. Because everything flows from that. It's like when Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, he said, it's love the Lord your God with everything that is in you. Everything. Not holding anything back. Everything else flows out of there. And it's the same when we put Jesus first and we live with him and we are having this incredible, perfect relationship almost. It's like walking in the garden with him. You know, where our thoughts immediately when we wake up turn to him. We don't have to even think about certain things because they just become part of who we are. I'm just going to write something that I wrote down here. We can choose to make excuses, not being willing to change and complain that it's too hard, but that won't glorify God. The best way, as I already said, is to give praise and glory to him, is to live in the reality of what the kingdom of God is and what it's. It's us participating with Christ in ruling and reigning with him. Can you imagine that? What an amazing privilege that he's given us. So I want to encourage you, look at what you wrote down and spend some time, some alone time, some quiet time, just asking God, where should I change? And I hope that you'll change that priority list. You need, something is going to drive what that is. Is it going to be the way world lives, or is it going to be how we're supposed to live in the kingdom following Jesus?